You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 132. Open your eyes. Not because you're asleep or dreaming, or I hope you're not, or maybe you should ask yourself that question. Am I really listening to The Dream Show, or am I dreaming? No, we're not going down that track today. We'll save that till we do an episode on lucid dreaming, I think. Open your eyes is the theme of today's podcast, in which we will be exploring how to open your eyes to look into your dreams for opposites. That's a key dream interpretation tool. And how to open your eyes to look at recurring motifs, not only in your dreams, but also in your waking life. We'll also be looking at how to open your eyes to explore life's mysteries. Enticing? So let's delve in. First of all, though, just before we really start, the websites and the blog, so that if you're listening to this for the first time, or if you haven't been to my website and blog for a few months, go and have a look, find out what else is happening. There are free resources, lots of stuff, updated news, and of course you can also find out how to contact me if you need particular help with your dreams or you'd like to book a session. So the websites are www.dream.net.au, or the blog www.janetheresa.com, that's Theresa without an H, or find me on Facebook. So here we go. I'm starting today with an article called Rainbow Shades of Grey. Now, if you've been following my blog, you might think, I've only just read this recently because I wrote this in October this year, which is only, it's actually only last month. But sometimes there's a difference between reading an article, what you get from reading an article, and what you get from listening to the same article. So there's that, but there's also the fact that with these kind of articles, you respond to them according to what's happening in your life at the moment, today, yesterday, this week. So you can revisit the same article just in the same way that you can pick the same book off your bookshelf or pluck the same ebook off your e-reader and read it after only a few weeks or months, and there's a different message in there. So anyway, here we go, Rainbow Shades of Grey. Why do we dream in black and white? It's a question I'm often asked, and it always makes me smile. We don't, I reply. You don't remember noticing colours in your dreams, so you assume you dream in black and white and shades of grey. But now you know you can dream in colour, you will. Within days or nights, such dreamers excitedly report colours, a flash of red, perhaps, or a golden sunset, then a sudden rush of colourful details until the dream is as colourful as waking life, or perhaps even vibrantly supersaturated, super surreal. Yet, in another sense, we do tend to dream in black and white, the black and white of opposites. Look closely at most dreams and you will see at least one pair of opposites. A dream might feature good and evil, risk and safety, crowded and alone, deep and shallow, new and old, faith and doubt, the black and white, the either-or of issues that conflict us. Are you a black and white thinker? Do you see the world in black and white, right and wrong, good and evil? Do I hear a resounding no? But look deeper, and especially look at those pairs of opposites offered on a platter in your dreams. A dream theme peppered with risk and safety suggests you may, at least unconsciously, look at risk and safety as mutually exclusive alternatives, black and white, no shades of grey. Perhaps you see life as frighteningly risky, so you run for certain safety. Or you see life as suffocatingly safe, so you choose the high adventure of risk. No shades of grey. When you find your black and white blind spot, ask yourself who in your early life influenced your perspective. Continuing the example, you'll probably find at least one parent or guardian valued risk to the exclusion of safety, or safety to the exclusion of risk. And you either followed suit and took on the same values, or you retaliated in fear to occupy the opposite position. Your current values reflect your beliefs about risk and safety in this example, and those beliefs are often based on your emotional experiences. When you are awake to your dreams, you can choose to begin the healing work of finding a balance point between opposites, the Tao, the middle path. This deep work begins not with a decision to simply walk the middle path between black and white, but to explore and heal the origin of your beliefs and the emotions that cemented them in black and white. It involves recognizing your shadow, what you see as bad, the black to your white, the shadowy urge to take risks which must be repressed in the name of supreme safety, or the shadowy urge to stay safe which must be repressed in the name of adventurous risk. It involves understanding and embracing your shadow, loving that part of yourself, integrating it into your being instead of banishing it from your kingdom. And when you do this, the black and white of your staunchly upheld perspective gives way to an infinity of possibilities etched in far more than 50 shades of grey. Or colour. Why live in grey when you can live in colour? When you know that you can dream in colour, you do. When you know that you can live in colour, you do. I'm not really one for shades of grey. I prefer to take poetic license and see a rainbow spectrum of brilliant colours between black and white. It feels more intuitively correct. Think of the font colour menu in Microsoft Word. Black at the top left, leading through a range of colours to white at the bottom right. Scientifically speaking, white light contains all the rainbow colours mixed together, and you only see the rainbow when you shine white light through a glass prism or when sunlight gets refracted by raindrops. And black is the absence of all colour. But look again. Scientifically speaking, black pigment is made up from different coloured dyes, and white pigment is generally the absence of coloured pigment. Let's leave the physics and semantics of black and white, and while we're at it, the spelling of grey or grey, colour or colour, licence or licence, that's where I put the English and American spellings in, and delve into the poetic heart of the matter. Let your dreams help you to drop your veils of black and white, and to step through and beyond the rainbow into a world rich in colour. So that's that article, and talking of opposites in dreams, I thought I'd bring you a real dream and a touch of humour to illustrate how to apply this method to your own dreams. And this one's actually from a segment I did on radio a while back. In fact, it was in May earlier this year, and I wrote this up as a blog and I called it Mooning the Personal Trainer. Mooning the Personal Trainer. I was called onto this morning's Maz, Dan and Shane breakfast show on Nova 919 to do a bit of dream detective work on the embarrassing dream presenter Maz had just shared with the listeners. She said, I woke up when Josh Pike mooned me and my new personal trainer. She had the dream the night after her introductory personal training session, and she was doubtful that she'd be able to keep a straight face during her second session later today. In the dream, she and her new personal trainer went to a gig at an amphitheatre near her old primary school to hear Australian singer-songwriter Josh Pike. When she went up to the stage to introduce Josh Pike to her personal trainer, he mooned them. Now, Nova-style radio means getting to the bottom line pretty swiftly, give or take a bit of banter. So I said, if you want to succeed with your exercise goals, you'll need to understand your mooning attitude. Which three words would you use to describe Josh Pike's personality? Chilled out, a chiller, friendly, Maz replied. So there's a chilled out part of you that feels like mooning your personal trainer, I suggested. And because your primary school comes up in the dream, this probably goes back to how you felt about training and discipline back in your primary school days. I was 110% committed at primary school, Maz observed. Every aspect has its shadow or balance. And for committed, disciplined people, there's always a chilled out side hanging in the shadows. Sometimes we're driven to extremes, like 110% discipline, by a fear of the opposite extreme, totally chilled out. Things began to click for Maz. In her introductory session, her personal trainer had discussed nutrition. And she said she began to think, oh no, I'll have to give up booze, foods I love. She could relate to the feeling of mooning the whole personal training idea in favour of chilling out. But by the time she went to bed, she said she decided to 110% commit herself to her personal training goals. Mazzy's dream reflects the way her mind processed all this, as all dreams do. I pointed out some dream wordplay. Her introductory personal training session became, in the dream, an introduction to her personal trainer. Dreams cleverly convey levels of meaning and visual wordplay, and I suggested to Maz that the mooning may reflect deeper feelings of being quite happy with her butt the way it is, assuming her training also targeted this area. She laughed. I return to the opening bottom line. If you want to succeed with your exercise goals, you'll need to understand your mooning attitude. Giving your personal trainer 110% discipline may lead to burnout. Better to add some balance, to add some chill, to get the right mix to make it fun and achievable, and maybe, just maybe, to factor in being happy with your butt the way it is. Maz related to this, and I'm sure the memory of the dream mooning incident will bring a chuckle and a chill factor to her workout this afternoon. So I hope that gave you some clues there. And talking of adding balance and some chill, that gave me an idea to bring you this article called Rosewood Laptop, which I wrote as a blog in September 2011. Rose Top Laptop. It was one of those moments when an unusual symbol from my dream popped up in waking life the next day. What does it mean when this happens? On Wednesday night, I dreamed. I untangled and unplugged a heap of electrical wiring to get to my very ordinary looking laptop. As I smoothed the palm of my hand across the lid of the freed laptop, I saw that it was no longer the standard silvery grey metal. It was a rich, warm rosewood, inlaid with an intricate pattern of rare woods. On waking, I interpreted my dream. I saw the rose top laptop as a symbol of keeping my work in balance, balancing the online, electrical wiring, with the offline, unplugged. The mental work, metal, in the office on the computer, with the intuitive work, wood, natural world, seeing deeply inlaid patterns. My time spent online with clients, plugged into Skype, with time spent offline with clients, unplugged from the internet, meeting face to face. The next day, yesterday, I had more of an unplugged day, including having lunch with my son, Ewan. "I bought a new guitar," Ewan said, "a 1994 Maton ECW-80. He picked it up and played a tune, delightfully rich, subtly inlaid, a big improvement on his previous model. "Is it rosewood?" I asked, knowing nothing about rosewood but thinking about my dream. "The fretboard is Brazilian rosewood," he said, "beautiful, rare now, an endangered species." Ewan is a professional singer-songwriter and songwriting coach whose work also involves a mix of the online and offline, the plugged and the unplugged. What does it mean when a dream symbol appears in some form the following day? Ewan had a new guitar, not a new laptop. To be accurate, it was a dream motif that appeared in my waking life in the shape of Ewan's rare rosewood guitar, a major transformation compared to his previous one. When a dream motif spills into waking life the following day, pay extra attention to your dream. Dreams reflect your waking life experiences, and your waking life experiences reflect the many levels of your being. Synchronicity is a good label. There are others. There's also value in simply abandoning the mental need for logic and appreciating the intuitive meaningfulness of the moment. This morning I googled rosewood laptops. "Why be ordinary when you can be extraordinary?" asked one website selling rosewood laptop coverings. Not for me though. The rosewood on offer was vinyl, not the real thing, superficial. I found other sites that show you how to make your own wood veneer casings for laptops. Closer, but nothing like the deep, full, inlaid rosewood of my dream. There are laptops covered in diamonds for around $300,000. Real superficial stuff, as it seems the laptops are underpowered. But then my dream was never about laptops. It was about me. Just as your dreams and all the symbols and motifs within them are all about you. If you were a laptop, what kind of laptop would you be? If you were a musical instrument, what kind of instrument would you be? If you were a song, what song would you be? I hope you enjoyed that. And talking of motifs, here's another blog article. This one's more mysterious or perhaps even spooky, but it's still a take on noticing waking life motifs. And this story always makes me smile because although I wrote this in 2009, which is when it happened, it's still an event that's a complete mystery to me now. So this one's called The Folds of Time. And I see I wrote this in November 2009, and it's November now, today, as I'm recording this. So that's 3 years ago. The folds of time, indeed. The folds of time. I hesitated to blog this story because it sounds implausible, but it did happen. On Friday, to be precise. And the scientist in me has been trying to explain it away. So I entice you to don the hat of your choice. Dreamer, scientist, detective, alchemist, skeptic, mystic, reader, and to explore this mystery. 3 weeks ago, husband Michael's favourite hat disappeared. last remembered at a picnic, last seen in my car, nowhere to be found. Michael and I each scoured my car twice, which was very easy to do since my car interior is quite zen. A beach towel and an empty box for transporting any loose items in the trunk, and an umbrella and one or two hats on the shelf behind the back seats. Except that for 3 weeks there has only been one hat, mine. Until Friday night. Arriving home, we opened the trunk to grab some bags from the box and, "Isn't that your hat?" I asked Michael as I reached out to lift it from the shelf behind the back seats. A strange question indeed, because it clearly was Michael's lost hat, but how could it possibly be just sitting there in full view? We were both speechless. And if you visit the blog, I've actually taken a picture of the hat so you can see the size of the hat and the car and all of that. But anyway, it's not one of those hats you can squash. It takes up a lot of space. It was unharmed. Over the weekend, I searched for explanations, and I bet you're thinking of plenty now too. I have only one set of keys. The car is locked when not in use. No one was around to put the hat there when we weren't looking. Michael did not find his hat and plant it there for me to discover. I got quite excited when I thought I'd worked it out. Do you know how a magician pulls a rabbit from a seemingly empty hat? I'm sure you do, and I do. Remembering how it's done gave me a clue. My car is a 5-door model, so that when you lift the trunk lid, that's the 5th door, the shelf behind my back seat swings up. And attached to the back shelf are 2 black folds of fabric that catch anything sitting on the back shelf. Quite clearly, I reasoned, Michael's hat had fallen into the folds of fabric about 3 weeks ago, only to somehow, by a quirk of mechanics and sleight of hand, reappear from the folds and jump back onto the shelf on Friday. As foolproof and scientific as producing a white rabbit from a magician's top hat. So I did the experiment. But no way could the hat fit into the folds of fabric without being damaged. Science nil, mystery one. Long ago, I learned to have fun with science, to apply reasoning and logic, and then to let go and embrace the mystery. One way or the other, Michael's hat disappeared into the folds of time and reappeared 3 weeks later, and I'm here to tell the tale. And if you think 3 weeks is a good disappearing trick, consider this. The day before the hat's mystery reappearance from the folds of time, I found a fat envelope in our P.O. box mail addressed to both Michael and I. Opening the envelope, I saw money bills peeping out between folds of paper. The sender explained that the money was payment for an invoice she had just found in a pile of stuff from 5.5 years ago, money she and we had long forgotten, now appearing from the folds of time. Waking life can be stranger than dreams, but if you look closely, you'll see recurring patterns in both. In dream interpretation, these are called motifs. My waking life motif this week has been things appearing from the folds of time. Open your eyes. What's the recurring motif in your waking life this week? Why might this be? And talking of opening your eyes and trying to make sense of the mysteries of life, here's one last little tale to make you smile if the others haven't already, and to think about how you interpret your waking life. This one's called Max's Moustache, which I wrote in November 2009. Sipping a long black, that's a big espresso coffee for American listeners, With Michael this morning, I noticed our waiter's Movember moustache. "Can't wait to shave it off, he confided. "Children look at me like I'm the scary kind of man their mums have warned them about." Never heard of Movember? The Movember movement began in Australia and is now worldwide. Men who participate don't shave their moustaches for the entire month of November as a fundraiser and awareness campaign for men's health, notably prostate cancer and depression. "Or I feel like I should be serving coffee to a 70s soundtrack," the waiter added. A memory percolated from 1981. I was sitting in the one and only cafe on a small Nigerian campus in Africa where we were living at that time. My daughter, Rowan, 9 months old, was seated in my lap staring at Max, one of the very few Caucasians around. Max was bald and sported a moustache and bushy beard to compensate. Rowan stared and stared, puzzled, then slowly tilted her head to one side as far as she could until she was almost viewing Max from upside down. Suddenly I got it. She hadn't seen a bald and bearded man before, and she must have figured he had his head on upside down. In her whole 9 months of life experience, hair belonged on top of the head, bare skin belonged on the chin. She was just trying to make sense of her world. Isn't it interesting that when we meet something new, we first try to make it fit with what we already know? It's human nature in waking life and in our dreams, which are all about processing our latest experiences and trying to make sense of them. If Movember had passed you by before you read today's blog or listened to me reading it today, how quick were you to think I made a typo or had an even worse speech impediment in my opening sentence, meaning to type or say November? Or did you read it as November anyway, making the word fit with what you already knew? How can you look at the world in a different way today? Maybe start with a new view of men's health. Happy Movember or happy November, whichever way it is and whichever year it is that you're listening to this. I hope you've enjoyed today's show, episode 132, and that it's given you some food for thought. And if it hasn't, just go back to the beginning and listen again, because there's plenty to think about. And if you like what you hear, please share with friends. It's easy to do by Facebook, by word of mouth, or whatever. Do share. Of course, if you're not listening to this podcast through iTunes, that's an easy way to get it too. As if you've listened to more than one show, you'll know that about 75% of our shows involve a guest. So we have a guest who brings on a dream to be interpreted. Now, the way this works is that we phone or Skype our guest, wherever they live in the world, and they tell me the dream for the first time. I hear it for the first time. We record all of this, and the whole show is about interpreting the dream, helping the person with dream alchemy, and getting to find out how the dream relates to their waking life. So that's for 75% of the episodes. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, or you know someone that would like to be a guest on the show and have their dream interpreted, it's free, of course. Just email me and we'll put you on the list and see what we can do. We really value people coming onto the show as guests, because it's a wonderful contribution to all of our listeners to actually hear a dream interpreted live and to see how it works. And on the other 25% odd of shows where we do the other format, which is the one you've heard today, which is me talking, we tend to make the show a bit shorter. The guest shows are generally an hour long, but we figure that when it's just me talking, half an hour is more than enough. So I'm about to say goodbye and hope you enjoyed the show. The next show, the Dream Show, comes out every 4 weeks. And by the way, if you haven't heard a Dream Show with a guest, just go back over I think the last couple of episodes would both feature guests, and you'll get the feeling for that. The next show, it comes out every 4 weeks, would be episode 133, and it will be out on the 14th of December. Just a reminder again to, if you love all this stuff, to go and visit either my website at dream.net.au or my blog at janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, or to visit Facebook. Thank you for staying with me for another issue of The Dream Show. Please do share. Please pass on the good word. If you've got something from this, chances are other people that you know will too. They just need to know about The Dream Show. Have a lovely month, and I'll talk with you next week, or maybe you'll even be a guest on the show. Maybe it will be all about you. Have a lovely 4 weeks, and I'll talk to you again then. Thank you for listening. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.